And away we go. It is Friday morning, the last Friday in the month of February 26th, 2021, 16 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into The Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. Now remember, this show can be heard live every Friday from 11:15 a.m. until 12 p.m., repeated on Sunday from 8:10 a.m. till 9 a.m., Wednesday 3:10 p.m. until 4 p.m., right before Nate's show here on the station, and you can catch it online. All the shows are in the archive, wwgh1071.com. Go to the show archives, and it's the first show under there, and they're all listed by date. And we turn the show over to the host, Pastor Steve Whitaker.
Hello, Scott. Good to be here with you and Tim this morning. What a beautiful morning it is. We have had sunshine for 5 days now. I don't know how to act.
It's been great.
You know, I can tell I have more energy, and it's just a wonderful thing. This is the Pastor Spot. We are at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. Our services are at Community Christian Fellowship. Our services are at 9:30 a.m. and also again at 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings. We have midweek Bible study, a couple different things. If you want to know anything about the church, just try to reach us at 494-2222, or you can reach us at prospectccf.com and leave a message, and someone will get back with you. But we are also sponsored by Jeff's Bicycle Shop in Prospect, new and used high-end bicycles, and they do great repairs and service work there. Really good service department. And then again, there is also Mid-Ohio Insurance Solutions for all your insurance needs, and they have offices in Marion, Galleon, Caledonia, several offices around. So, with that being said, it's good to be here today. It's good to be having a break from the cold. My sister is in from Florida, and it's still very cold to her here. But to us, I walk outside and feel that sunshine. It can be cold. But I'm surprised at how fast the snow's melting.
It's going away very quick.
Yes, but in a slow enough pace that we're not flooding everywhere, which is kind of good. Oh, a lot going on this week. My word, we were just talking about Mr. Potato Head, of all things.
Big news.
Isn't that big news? And yeah. I want to address that just for a second. I don't want to address the story of Mr. Potato Head so much, but I wanted to address the reaction of Mr. Potato Head, the story. I really feel that in our there are so many things that we change all the time. Packaging changes for all kinds of things and for different reason. If I was a little boy and I wanted a Mr. Potato Head set with the mom and the dad and the kids, I would not want, if it just said Mr. Potato Head, I'd say, well, that's not there. I want the whole family. But for whatever reason a company does something, whether it's the reason they do it for their own business or whether it's a reason the media has said they're doing it, it doesn't always necessarily have to be one of those buttons that's pushed to get everyone in an outrage. There is so much going on in the world that we legitimately need to be concerned about. That whether or not the box in big letters says Mr. Potato Head or just Potato Head, it really doesn't matter. We're not going to consume potato heads every day. We're not going to have to protect our potato heads so that they don't get carried away every day. You know what I mean? Mr. Potato Head is a one-time purchase in some families that the kid can pull eyeballs out and put eyes where mouths are. We've always been able to do. I made some pretty freaky potato heads when I was a kid. But the point being that we take these stories and we want to get someone's dander worked up so we're all over it. And I think there's so many important things going on right now that we need to be concerned about and need to have conversation over. One of those things that lays dearly on my heart is child abuse and child trafficking. And it's just getting so, so bad. I don't know. It comes to my mind so often as I'm playing with or interacting with my own grandchildren, and I'll think, and my mind will go to a child that isn't getting that, and you think, wow, you know, how's their mind developing when they're ignored? How's their mind developing when they're left alone? When they're hungry? I'll tell you what. You can walk down through any mall on any day, and if you start following families around, well, don't do that too much. They'll think you're a creeper. But anyway, you'll hear the mom or the dad yelling the F-bomb at them. Shut the, you know, little kids, toddlers. I can't imagine, you know, the stuff. And we have to realize how tender these kids are and how much they're influenced. We've got to quit confusing children. Little kids don't need to wonder whether they're male or female. They never have. I think if you talk to most little kids, they're going to go through a period in their life where they don't really understand, what's the difference between Susie and me? We're best friends. Why does she have that and I have this? And little boys that when I was a little kid and I go over to my cousin's house, she loved to do my hair. And she did. Didn't mean that I was anything else. And I think the point is that we're forcing decisions and thought patterns on children that are too young to deal with them. And we need to recognize how precious that child is and let them develop. Look, if people, whatever is going on in someone's mind and in their life, it's going to develop as they mature. And we need to let that happen. We're born male or female. You just can't get away from that fact. You know, you either have one set of chromosomes or you have another. That's just the way it's going to be. Now, what you do with that is, I guess, your own business. But the thing is, we're making it our business. You see what I mean? It's bad enough that we make a decision for a child to take its life in the womb. Now we're going to make a decision once it's born, what it's going to be based on what our perception is of how they're acting. And I know, thinking of myself as a little kid, I never really, I mean, girls were girls and boys were boys, but we were kind of the same when we were little, and we didn't think much about it. I could play a girls' game as easy as I could play a boys', you know. And I don't want to live in a day and age where people are saying, "Oh, do you recognize this in them? Let's direct them in this direction. Leave them alone and let them grow up. Teach them the ABCs. There's nothing wrong with teaching about Mr. and Mrs. and Mommy and Daddy. That's where the world has been for 2,000 years, and we function just wonderfully in it. And, you know, all these things that we try to make changes in constantly, the supposedly going to make life easier on people and better on people, we know that it doesn't. All of us, you know it. I mean, you look out there, unless you've got blinders on. I mean, our kids' suicide rates, the grades in school, I mean, on and on. The kids seeing mental counselors. I mean, do you realize how many intervention specialists we have in schools now? They're almost one-to-one with teachers because kids are confused. And there's a lot of reasons for that. You know, one is, and I will stand firmly, that I do believe in the Judeo-Christian family, the way it was designed in Scripture. And I think that as we pulled away from that, a lot of that solid rock that people could count on and stand on has been removed. But also what I look at is I see the fact that kids don't have a stable home life, a mom and dad at home, or even a good solid mom or a good solid dad sometimes. They don't have someone that has their best interest in mind, and I think that we've lost a lot of that. We do things that we think are going to make them feel better. But I love the one commercial. Who does that commercial? Where the kid's in the stadium and it says, you know, popcorn this much, stadium this much, pop this much, and then it says, time with dad, priceless. And I who does that? Is that a Pepsi, I think?
Might be.
I don't know.
I don't remember. You know the commercial. There's several different ones. But the point being, oh, that's so true. Kids want to know that they're loved. They want to know that someone's taking care of them. They don't want to be – they need time to develop and to develop properly.
They want to spend time with mom and they want to spend time with dad.
Exactly. They do. And another thing that comes into this whole situation is – also hard on kids. I can remember a time when my mom and dad were going through a tough spell. And while they were arguing on one side of the wall at night, I was laying in my bed as a kid crying my eyes out because I loved them both dearly. And I couldn't stand what I was hearing. It was so hard. And that's minor in comparison to what kids are seeing today. You know, parents split up. They play the kids against each other. They say horrible, disparaging things to the kids about the other one. And all that is for what they feel helps their cause. It never helps that child's cause. They still love dad. You know, dad may be a deadbeat. But there's nothing wrong with mom saying, you know, you need to love your daddy. He may have some problems, but you know, he'll deal with that, but he's still your, you know, you see what I mean? You know, and we have to, I love it when I see families, and I do, and I've seen families where the husband and wife could not get along, they ended up divorcing for whatever reason, but they still, because of the sake of their children, they put their differences aside, they didn't tear each other down in front of their child. You know, a friend of ours went through a horrible divorce with his wife early on when his boy was a toddler, and he was very bitter, but he said he decided he would never say anything disparaging about the mother to the boy, and what a wonderful way to be. You know, we've got to start paying attention to what we're doing to our kids. We can't go out there and complain about and losing the mister in Potato Head and make a big rail about it if we're not taking care of our stuff at home, if we're not doing what we need to be doing to raise our children properly. It's so, so important. And I guess what I wanted to get today, I'm doing all the talking here. That's nothing new, is it? But anyway, here's the point I want to get to. All those issues aside, or how you think kids should be raised or not raised, is I want to ask people to have courage. Courage isn't something that we see a lot of today. Sometimes we'll have what appears to be courage in mass, because there's all these people maybe protesting or this and that. And most of them would never have the courage to do it alone, but in mass they'll come together, and you know what I mean. And it's real interesting. I've seen this put on social media several times, and there's a point to it. It may go to two extremes, but there's a little bit of honesty that pulls out of it. It's a picture of these 16, 17, 18-year-old kids. A lot of them lied to get in, storming the beaches at Normandy, coming off those amphibious things with all their – these are kids, brave as you could imagine. And then the next picture is this kid hiding in a corner like this, hiding from words. That's where we've gone. And whatever happened to sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I mean, that's what they used to say to you when kids would say bad things. And I guess the point I'm trying to make is, if we want to take a stand today for what's right with our family, we need to have the courage to step up and say so. Everyone's so afraid. I mean, honestly, if Hasbro decides to take Mr. out of Potato Head, all of a sudden there are these horrible, far-left, hate, child-destroying people when they don't even know the reason in which they did it, the exact reason. Like we talked earlier, they haven't even read what's really going on. They've read what the media knew would get news attention and what the media said. That's not at all exactly what is going on. But yet, at the same time, on the other side, if I were to stand up and tell somebody that I believe that a current trendy lifestyle was bad for them and it wouldn't hurt them, based on my true convicted beliefs, I'd be called a hater, a misogynist, a homophobe, you name it. And they feel that's right, too. And I think that I would encourage people to, one, if you're going to be involved in something, understand both sides of the coin and know the facts. The other thing is that we live in a country, the one of the main reasons that this country is here is because people wanted to have a voice. They didn't have a voice where they came from. They wanted to have a country where we had freedom of speech, freedom of worship, freedom of being having that entrepreneurial spirit, that all the things that comes with America. And so many of the things we're pushing towards today want to silence the voice. You can't say that. Why can't you say that? You can disagree with me, but I should have every right to say it. I can't believe in institutions of what we call higher education. Kind of reminds me of the old bumper sticker with a guy smoking a joint and it said, "I'm a product of higher education." But anyway, no. But in a lot of these things, you've got students protesting to not let any conservative voices on the campus. Now, I don't understand that. Why wouldn't you want to hear the other side? Why wouldn't you want to know what they're thinking? What's happened to debate in our country? You know, everything is kind of goes back to feelings. I heard was listening to a radio show the other day, and a guy called in and said that he was a pastor. And said that he had done a certain thing, and he was talking about how warm and fuzzy it was and how nice it seemed and it was the right thing to do and this and that. And the show host came back and said, "I understand that completely." He said, "But if you're claiming to be a minister of the Word of God and the Word of God says this, it doesn't matter what your feelings are. If you believe that God comes first, he's got to come first. And if you truly believe what you say you believe, then with all the kindness and compassion in the world, you got to stand firm on that." Feelings, we live in a world today that is dictated by feelings. Everything, someone's feelings getting hurt. I won't say the school because I can't remember which one. It was one of the Ivy League schools. Just tried to get Ted Cruz's diploma revoked from going to school there because of his hate speech. Well, the man's free to say whatever he wants. He was elected by people that want him to say that. But you're going to go, I mean, that's not freedom. in any stretch, it's not. And look, if I don't want to go somewhere, if this radio station, I'll give you a good example, if this radio station did nothing but trash people independently, like we see out there in different stations in different ways, if I listen to it once and I don't want to hear it, I'm not going to listen to it every day to put myself through pain and torture. I'm going to turn it off. And I think that you can do that with television. There's been television shows that I've just shut off when they started going in a direction, and I thought, this is ridiculous. A lot of times they take a great storyline and throw illicit sex right in the middle of it. Why? I guess because that makes the viewers like it more. Doesn't make this viewer like it more. I think, let's get back to the storyline and make the little kids, hear no evil, speak no evil, and see no evil, you know? And we can do that, but I want to encourage people. I want to encourage you to be strong. Have courage. If you believe something, have courage enough to stand up and say so. And it doesn't matter where you are as an American. You should be able to have that courage to say so. And there's all kinds of people that should have all the courage in the world to say, I disagree with you, you're nuts. Or right on, you're dead on target. But we need to realize that I shouldn't be chastised because of what I personally believe. And I shouldn't force it on you. And why should people be able to force these things on people? I know it's funny, all these things that we get through and names that they attach to them. We've had a discussion here about Black Lives Matter. And whatever Black Lives Matter is and whatever all the entities and what their goal is, their sole purpose is not Black Lives. I mean, I think everyone realizes that. But the name, no one can disagree with. Pastor Steve, does Black Lives Matter? You better believe they do. Absolutely. Same as any other life. But does the organization just stop there, or are they have a lot of other things in their agenda, like socialism, changing the nuclear family, all those things? Now, recently with what people have said, they pulled some of those out of their original stuff. But it's just like today with this equality bill that has gone through the House, and now we'll go to the Senate. There's stuff in there. I mean, if I would say, hey, they're passing a bill on equality, fantastic, it sounds great. I want everyone to have equal opportunity. I want everyone to be able to be heard equally. I want all those things. I want them paid the same. You know, a fair wage for what's being done, whether male, female, or all those things I desperately want. But when you put in there that our religious institutions are now becoming regular public domain, and that we have to teach, accept, hire, and fire by the same regulations that a secular corporation does, now I got a problem. But they're quiet. They want to get that through. Freedom of religion is something great in this country. And the very things, it's kind of interesting too. Right now it's kind of popular to be Muslim, in as far as at least as the media is concerned, and many other outlets. They're embracing it. Our new president said he wants to see it grow and flourish in America. But it's very interesting that when it comes to moral issues, sexually moral issues, that are covered in Judeo-Christian values, they believe the same thing in their values.
They're more extreme.
I'm not going to cut your head off because you like a man if you're a man. They do. But because that's something that is acceptable now, they want to keep pointing back at the Christian church and leave this group alone. Well, what's going to happen when you enact a law that's going to affect all churches? At some point, we got to remember we're Americans. And we want equality for everyone, but we do not cross that line of the church being a free church to be what it's supposed to be. Or the other line of, and this is something we've really crossed in the last month, several months, is the fact that our Constitution allows us, and our Bill of Rights allows us free enterprise to function as we will for the betterment of ourselves without the heavy hand of the government coming down on us. And they pushed that under a rug. Look, if you want to open your restaurant and you've got a group of customers that would come in that really aren't really overly concerned about COVID themselves, if they want to come in and meet together, I don't think anyone has a right to tell them they can't. Because actually, explain to me why the airlines can be at 100%. Do you realize you're in that fuselage for that whole flight with all those people breathing the same air? How's that any different than a school bus? Or any different than a restaurant or anything else? But it seems to be what they place a necessary thing on. The basic thing I'm getting at is they're taking away rights that have been an intrinsic part of who we are as Americans. You know, you've always had the right to, in this country, while it wasn't legally recognized, there were plenty of men that married men in their own private way, and the way they did that, that's gone on from the beginning of time. But we have to make everything a huge issue and bring it to the forefront, and then condemn people in one group or the other. You know, if you people would just get out your Bible and begin to read and then begin to study some of the things that went on in New Testament times, the early time, the 100, 200, 300, 80, and not ACE, and not, you know. The stuff that went on was horrific. I don't think that we're yet sacrificing babies in fire in this country. Many would equate that to the horrific way the children are aborted. I happily know someone that was a victim of a botched abortion, and they're very maimed for it, but they're glad they're alive. And people would equate that to that. But I mean, they did wicked things back then. They sacrificed children. They did women, the horrible things that went on. But yet, it wasn't something that was a forefront of our reading. There were people that knew what was right, that knew that was wrong, and you didn't go there. There's always going to be evil in the world. You know, as Jesus said, you know, the poor are always going to be among us, and they will, right? We're always going to have poor. We're always going to have people in need. Well, let me tell you something. The evil are always going to be among us too, and we need to stand up and have some courage and just don't get in bed with them. You know, when you give them, somebody else to break in here a minute.
You give them an inch, they're going to take a mile.
Well, that's the way with most things.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you do. You get the door cracked, and then you get a foot in it, and then an elbow. But, you know, I really believe that people just need to stand up. When it has their own children, have courage. I'll give you a real good example of this. For years, when we were kids, and we never had ball practice or ball games on Wednesday evening, and we never had them on Sunday. And the reason was because most of America at that time lived the faith that they said they believed, and they said, look, on Wednesday evening, most churches in America had midweek services, whether it's Bible study, a time to get together and pray for other people, or what it was. But that was something parents felt were necessary. And if you're going to have this, my kids won't be there. So because of that, because of the great number, they kind of had to go along with that, whether they agreed it or not, because half our kids aren't going to be here anyway. So then, same thing Sunday. Now we're at a place where most churches have one service. They may have multiples in the morning, but it's one general service. Nothing midweek, because they can't. No one will be there. And if you talk to most parents, well, you know, if they miss practice, they're not going to play. 80 years ago, it would have been, if they won't let them off Wednesday, they're not going to play. You see the difference? And people aren't willing to. I told a group of parents this, and it's the honest truth. I believe that we have enough parents in our school that if they had the courage to say what they believe, and that courage would be that, look, whether you're in church or not, Sunday should be a day that you spend with family. We need that. We need that bonding, that time together, that time to regroup as a family. We do need a night a week where we're at the table. If they had the courage to stand up and say that, they would. And if they did that, it would have such an impact on the number of people at things that they would just say, okay, I guess we got to do that. And that's the courage I'm talking about. Most parents don't have that courage. And you can't say to your children that you believe something and then do the opposite, because then you're a hypocrite and they don't follow you anyway. You know, church is the most important thing in my family, in my life, and coming together and worshiping God, people say that, and then they you see them for an hour a week. Well, I got news for them. There's a lot more than an hour a week. And if you really believe it, live it. And that goes for anything. You know, anything. If you believe it, live it. But don't announce that you're this and completely live another way. That's where all this hypocrisy comes into play. And that is certainly where our young people say, you know what, I've heard it from so many, you know, if you guys only knew my dad, if you only really knew my mom, you know, they wouldn't be doing this in the church. They wouldn't be doing that in the church. You need to see who they really are. Well, why is that? It's because that parent's not being who they're really saying they are. And then we wonder why young people are not following. It's sad to me today that we have turned our children's minds, in many cases, to something less than sharp. I don't want to go as far as to say mush, but less than sharp. They're missing most of their absolutes. Absolutes are important. I, growing up, needed to absolutely know that my mom and dad were there for me no matter what. I needed to absolutely know that when I came home, I had a place to sleep and someone was going to have dinner for me. I needed to absolutely know that if I got in trouble at school, I got in trouble at home. I needed to absolutely know that there was a God that loved me if no one else didn't. And those absolutes kept me from going off the deep end as a teenager. I had a lot of unrest and stress and anxiety, and a lot of them were caused by events around me. But the truth was, I really believe the thing that kept me going over the edge and just giving up and was the fact that I knew that it could be right, and I knew that there were absolutes. And it appears, Scott and Tim, that they're wanting to take all of our absolutes away. And kids, I love examples. I'm going to give you another one. Several years ago, Shirley and I were chaperoning a FFA convention in Louisville. And the first year that we went, the FFA instructor for the school we were in had an itinerary that was absolute. And man, those kids had a blast. We didn't have any trouble. We had fun. It was the greatest experiences ever. You know, we're doing this from 2 to 3, and by 3:15, I need you have to be here because we're doing A, B, and Z. And those kids, we had a great time in the hotel. 2 years later, we went under a new instructor. He had absolutely no itinerary, none whatsoever. It was bedlam. We almost had to pay for hotel rooms. We almost had to take some kids back home. Because, okay, kids, we're here. Here's their schedule. What do you want to do? They were kids. They needed those absolutes. And we're taking so many absolutes away from kids today and asking them to make decisions on things that they're not exactly ready to do. And one of the saddest things, I think, that we do is the situation where we need to let these kids go, at least go through puberty and before we even mention anything about sex to them. And for our parts of our government to be supporting that, I love kids. And I see the destruction and the hurt on these kids' faces. There's a boy that walks around that his mind's all over the place, that stops and he'll walk into the church and want to sit down with us sometimes. Then maybe he'll show up at something else. But he's attempted suicide several times. He can't stay in school. And, you know, you sit down and talk to him. Well, this person says I'm this person says I'm that. This kid has no clue what's up or down or right or left. And that breaks my heart. And we've got to have the courage to stand up in this country, in our towns, our villages, our schools, and our homes, and say, enough. You know, I know that we want to call ourselves a progressive society, but even in a society that feels us moving forward, there are some traditional things that were in place because they worked and because they were right. And constantly wanting to throw the baby out with the bathwater is not going to help this country, and it hasn't had. I mean, we look at the growth of the progressive movement in the last 40 years, and we look at the decline of the mental stability of families and children. And I do think there's a direct correlation. Okay. Now that we have a few minutes left, anybody else want to say anything?
Well, you know, it's interesting because when you were talking about people being able to say what they want to say and speak what they want to speak, there was an interesting conversation, and I don't remember how it started, but it was one day this week in the morning, and the conversation was on the N-word, which you cannot say on radio. FCC does not.
Anywhere.
No. Well, you can, though. You can say it in public. You will not be arrested for saying that word.
If you're black and say it, you won't even be.
Well, see, this was the argument
for it.
Well, see, but nobody's going to charge.
Well, I know what I don't mean.
Right,
charged against you, not.
Well, see, but here's the thing, and this was the conversation that broke down that day. Was somebody called in, and I assume it was a white person, who said, "Why is it that black people can say it and I can't? You can." You can say it. You can't say it on the airwave.
Be the end of your career.
Well, but see, that's herein lies the problem, which goes back to the Ted Cruz issue that you brought up. And I don't know what he said, and I'm not sure what that whole thing was about. But because we are absolutists on this freedom of speech thing in this country, except in the case of, I think, pornography. I think and we probably should be that way. That's the only thing we're not absolute on, considering that as speech. Now, Ted Cruz absolutely can get up and say whatever he wants because that's freedom of speech. Absolutely. But the people, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on what you like and don't like, who want his degree revoked can say that too because
absolutely.
That's freedom of speech.
But my point was in saying that they're not recognizing freedom of speech to even ask for that.
Well, it's hard to say because, to be honest with you, I don't know what set them off so crazy about what he said. And I don't know. Freedom of speech is tough because you don't need to defend popular speech. If it's popular, nobody's going to complain.
Yeah, exactly.
But if it's unpopular, if Ted, I mean, it goes both ways in that situation. If Ted Cruz is your guy and you like 90% of the things Ted Cruz says, well, you probably don't have anything wrong with what he said, and you probably think the people trying to get him in trouble are wrong. But if you disagree with 90% of the things that he says, you probably think he's wrong, and the people trying to get him taken off or away or his award taken away are right. And that's because we can
say. I don't
know,
Scott, because quite frankly, I would just like to see an equal standard for a change. I mean, some of the unbelievable things that have come out of the mouth of some of the people that they're not even holding accountable today. And that's, I think, one thing that riles people is, how can you be so silent on this? And you know, I'll give you a good example. I think you probably know that someone has come out and has accused Governor Cuomo of a lot of sexual issues. The coverage on that of the news has been nil. Nil. I can promise you something. If it were Ted Cruz or Republican governor, whoever, oh my word, they'd play it. It'd be on that 10-minute cycle like the Fox thing was with when Rush died. And that's the whole point. And then, but that's fine. They have a right to do that. They're news. But here's the thing. When we start going after people, literally and legally, because they said A, B, or C, when there's people over here in the exact, I mean, you can parallel them completely, and oh no, we got to realize that, first of all, if we're going to have a Second Amendment, excuse me, First Amendment, if we're going to have a First Amendment, we need to have a First Amendment, right? If we have a second, whatever we have in the Constitution, we need to keep.
But that's the trickiness of it, though. Now, media, unfortunately, has become a business, so they can report whatever they want to report. But if somebody does want to report on Governor Cuomo on the internet or anywhere else or here on this station, you can do that, too, because there is freedom of speech. It's the problem is we tend as Americans to be, and this is our freedom of speech, we tend to defend the people we like more.
Absolutely.
Than, right. And that's, but that, we just have to.
That's human nature.
Right. And we have to accept it at some point and just say, well, they have the right to do it. So what can I do?
And I think I agree with you, Scott, but the thing that bothers me is that right now in this country, if you say there are certain things you can say that people immediately call you a hater. Try it sometime on Facebook. Put something, your values on there, and man, you're going to, on both sides, for crying out loud. Why should we be afraid to tell the truth because we're going to be attacked? You know, our school boards have gotten to the place it used to be. If you had a problem with a school, something going on in school, you could go to a school board meeting, you could give your question ahead of time, and you could talk on that subject. Now the school boards have changed all that. They can agree or not agree to let you speak. You're given exactly 1 minute. After 1 minute, all conversation stopped, and they discuss it in private meetings. Now, if that hadn't taken the voice away, nothing is. And we're going more and more in that in our country of not letting people feel like, whether they do or they're not, not letting people feel like they have the freedom to stand up for their convictions and what they believe. I mean, I think that any baseball coach, because of where this country comes from, and we're different, we're not China, we're not Japan, they have different societies, but any ball coach would tell a student, if you go to prayer meeting on Wednesday night and Bible study like your family's always done, you're not going to start on Thursday. Should be fired. How's that? That's my free speech. But
right.
The truth of the matter is that, you know, if we're going to hold to the nation that we've been, we have functioned for so many years very well. And I'll tell you, I honestly believe that up until sometime in the early 2000s, most people you would talk to would say, you know, I don't think race is too much of an issue. And it's been so at the forefront that everyone jumps on the bandwagon. I know a little girl who told her mom, she said, I never thought about myself being black or white. And she said, you know, I've been popular at school and all these things. But when all this stuff reared its ugly head several months ago, she started watching it on the internet and stuff. All of a sudden, she's talking about, I guess I have been abused. I guess this has happened. And the truth is I love what, you know, some of the black leaders have said, you know, let's stand up and be Americans. Let's stand up and fight to do the best we can, because the more we focus on this other stuff, the further we seem to be regressing, not progressing, and the more the mood in the country goes back. You know, there's God made black men and white men and white women and black women and is equal from, I mean, they came out of the womb as equal as anything else. And they should have an equal right to everything, an equal education, be looked at equally, all those things. But I feel that when we keep it in the forefront, we give a foothold to those on both sides of the coin to build more hatred.
And I think that's ultimately the, you know, when I was driving in this morning, I was thinking about the internet. Now, most people do not want any regulation on the internet. And I understand that, because people want to be able to say what they want to say and not be held accountable at all. And for a long time, I thought that's a good idea, because the news is not being run through any filter on the internet. But the problem is,
I block them if they're ugly.
Yeah, well, but the problem, what we've gotten with that is we've gotten bullying in schools on a higher level than there ever was. We've got the suicide rate going up in 49 states and staying the same in one. We have got people who can now email, which there wasn't even such a thing before the internet. You can get an email of an inappropriate picture of somebody and lose your job because of it. Inappropriate pictures can be put on social media, which that word wasn't even thought of 25 years ago. Ruin your career, ruin your life. People can jump on social media, say anything about you in the world, and 50% of people will probably believe it. You don't have to be held to any standard because there is no accountability. So should it be regulated? Well, I don't know. Left up to our own devices, we haven't done very good.
Ah, hence the reason for rules.
Right.
And that's why I try to encourage people, if you look at our values through society and you parallel them to Judeo-Christian values, things come out okay.
Well, and I think that's where we started today with why do people try to enact rules? Why do people try to change things? I think if there's not a problem, people don't tend to want to do that. But when the problem arises, somebody better do something. I don't know why. You know, I thought of this in the beginning of COVID, that when everything was closed, I thought, well, you know, people understand this now. You know, in the beginning, they didn't. It was a new thing. People didn't get what was going on. Okay, if a restaurant wants to open up, let it open up. Okay, if people understand the worry and who's in the danger zone, they won't go, but they will. And then they'll end up in the hospital and they'll end up dead. I don't know where the you have to be told to stay home comes in, but for some reason, I mean, do you remember our governor getting up in the beginning, people forget this, and saying, you need to stay home? He didn't close everything in the beginning.
He said, you need to.
And they wouldn't. And then he closed them down.
I don't think there's hardly been any change in who stays home and who doesn't, other than when things are closed. The people that are going to want to wear a mask and they're going to do it, and the people that don't. And you know, you have a right. You know, if you're so angry that a restaurant stayed open when they shouldn't, don't go there anymore.
Right. But you know, I think the issue is that you warn people and you say this. It's like if you're driving down a slippery road and it's raining at night and the bridge is out, and you drive down there and your car goes off the end of the bridge and somehow you survive, and you're walking back and you see a car coming down that same road and you tell them to roll down their window and you say, hey, the bridge is out. You know, you just survived it. But they say, I'm going to go ahead anyway.
Yeah, they do.
They do, but it used to be people paid attention. People didn't want to harm themselves and other people. But now, I don't know.
Think about something, Scott. We're running out of time.
Yeah, just about. Yeah.
How much time we got left?
About a minute.
You know, you think about that, though. Every time someone wanted to change the voice of reason as to what worked and didn't work, if it didn't fit what was being said by a select group of people, they were heavily chastised. And people, there was a mistrust of government that fueled an awful lot of why they weren't doing it. So why is that mistrust there? And I think that we need to be held to more integrity across the board. And I think that our politicians need to be ministers of their constituents. They need to be taking what their constituents vote them for and do. Hey, this has been fun today.
Yes.
We are at 209 East Water Street again. We're Community Christian Fellowship. We'd love to see you there. God bless you all.
107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Programming on WGH Radio.